Welcome to today's program. We have Helen Knoll, our head coach and the field hockey team at Michigan State, and Abby Barker, former field hockey All-American and a physician assistant currently working in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I'm Bill Beekman, Vice President and Athletic Director at Michigan State, and we're very excited to have a fun program today. Helen, we had talked about having you on earlier, but with conflicts and so now you're the lead of the sort of pandemic version of our show, which is a little disjointed because we're all remote and can't actually see each other. But let me ask you, what kinds of things have you been able to do remotely from home to keep your team engaged and to keep everybody sort of on the same page where typically you'd be seeing a lot more of them?
Sure. Well, I think it's been an evolution as information has changed and, you know, time has passed. And I think at first when everybody left campus, we weren't sure, you know, how long this was going to be for and what the rules were going to be. And with the NCAA allowing us to have, you know, what we call our CARA hours or 8 hours, we've been doing quite a lot virtually through the month of May, which, to be honest, is a little weird for me. Usually end of April, we finish our spring practice, and then May, I'm usually gone every weekend in May. So my family is adjusting to having me home all the time, which I think has its pros and cons. And we've been doing tactical film with the team in small groups. We've had leadership meetings. We've had kind of individual check-ins and wellness checks. So it's really about just staying connected, making sure that, you know, people are having good, solid conversation. It's really easy just to say, how are you doing? Good. Versus asking some more deep and meaningful conversations and just checking into how everybody's doing and a pulse for how they're feeling being home and any kind of concerns and worries they have for returning to campus. And obviously still trying to keep our eye on the prize for the fall, whatever our season's going to look like.
Well, hopefully we'll have a robust season. I spend most mornings connecting with the Big Ten athletic directors. And as we plan for the fall, we're sure very hopeful that, that all of our fall sports can have a robust season. And that's what we're planning for as of today. So hopefully that will come to pass. Abby, welcome to the program. You have a really extraordinary history with MSU athletics as the in our MSU field hockey program, fourth in career goals, fourth in career points, a three-time All-American, a three-time academic All-Big Ten honoree, as a junior, the Big Ten tournament MVP, and led the team to an Elite Eight appearance in the NCAA tournament. So that's just an extraordinary track record. What was your favorite memory as a Spartan? When you think back on your time on campus, what comes to mind?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. There are so many things that I, you know, think back on and cherish all the memories. I guess my favorite memory in terms of field hockey was when we were down here in Columbus, my hometown, on, you know, the Buckeyes field, and we were able to come back from a 2-0 halftime deficit to beat Iowa and win the Big Ten tournament championship in front of all my friends and family. So I think that's my favorite field hockey memory. But obviously I have a lot of memories from campus, you know, creating relationships and friendships with all the people that I was able to meet through, you know, the great opportunity of, you know, being able to be a Spartan and play field hockey. So definitely a lot of great memories that I cherish.
So a little bit out of the box question, but my recollection is that you wore number 5 when you played. Any reason for that? Any special meaning?
You know what? I think I started as a soccer player when I was younger, and I was always number 3. And I think through high school, I can't remember if I was number 3 or number 5, maybe number 3, but when Helen had emailed us, she said, you know, what number do you guys want? And I think number 3 or whatever, you know, number I used to be that I really liked as a soccer player and a high school field hockey player was already taken. So I'm pretty sure 5 was the only single digit jersey number left. So that's kind of the story behind that.
I always enjoy asking that question because you get everything from, no, that's what they gave me and it was on the jersey, to really deep, thoughtful, esoteric answers and points in between. So,
yeah. And now it's funny because my, now it's kind of become my little sibling's favorite numbers as well. My brother plays club lacrosse at Ohio University and he's number 5. And, unfortunately, my little sister that now plays field hockey, she's about to be a sophomore in high school. She wanted to be number 5, but unfortunately, I think the only number they had left for her was in the 30s. So she wasn't quite as lucky, but maybe someday she'll be lucky enough to get that number 5 one day. So we'll see.
Very cool. Very cool. So so when did you know that you were interested in the medical profession as a career path?
So it was kind of a natural decision for me, I would say. My dad is actually an orthopedic surgeon here in Columbus. So, you know, as a young child, he would take me and my siblings. We'd go to the hospital, do some rounds with him when he was still taking call in the hospital. So I kind of already had that mindset as a kid. And I was always into the sciences and math and stuff like that in school. So I kind of thought that I was going to go to med school, but I didn't really have, you know, I went into MSU knowing that I was going to do some kind of like biology, ended up getting my degree in kinesiology. But my dad had actually hired a PA, physician assistant, I think when I was in high school. And then we worked with Mike Strauss on our team. He was a PA that worked with the athletic training team. So I think once I kind of found out what a PA was and was able to shadow and get some experiences, that kind of resonated more with me. So I guess I kind of always knew I was going to go into medicine in some form, but I just didn't know kind of what form that was. But once I kind of found out what a PA was, that definitely resonated more with me. And, you know, it just was kind of a natural path to that decision.
So I have to tell you, I had an uncle who was a lawyer, and I had really always thought I would be a lawyer from a very early age, and got a degree. I was getting a degree at MSU in political philosophy that would sort of be an appropriate undergraduate degree for being a lawyer. And when I got into my late in my junior year, I thought, well, maybe it would be really interesting to be a doctor. So my senior year, I took the introductory chemistry course, which was then taught on cassette tapes. And I got a 2-point, and I immediately went back to lawyer mode. I discovered that the sciences maybe weren't quite my thing at the college level. So, Abby, one of the things that I talk about when I talk to Rotary or Kiwanis groups or alumni groups, we talk about, what is the definition of a Spartan? And I always say that a Spartan is a person that makes their world a better place in whatever capacity that might be. And there are very various ways to do that. But it seems like you've really found your niche, making your part of the world a better place. And what have been the challenges, or what's your experience been like being on the front lines of this pandemic?
So it's definitely been an interesting time. I actually remember, so I work in the emergency department, and I remember there was a little piece of just like 8x11 paper that was hung up near one of the desks that I work at. And it said something to the, along the lines of, if any patient has like upper respiratory symptoms and has, you know, recently traveled to Wuhan, China, like there's a new virus or something like that. And it was kind of just this vague piece of paper, and no one had really said anything. I didn't really heard anything about it. I just kind of saw it and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And this is back in, you know, October or November, something like that. And I remember kind of seeing that and, you know, kind of sloughing it off and saying, okay, not really sure what that's about. But now the fact that, you know, it is here and it's real, and, you know, I'm seeing patients, you know, with COVID, it's just so interesting how, you know, things have changed. And just from, you know, thinking about our, you know, protective equipment to different procedures and protocols that have been in place. I think, you know, the biggest thing is just like as a staff kind of adapting to, you know, what we're hearing from, you know, our, you know, nation's top medical experts to, you know, our own administration, making protocols that, you know, to keep, you know, our staff and patients safe. I think just being able to be, you know, willing to adapt to the situations, and, you know, things change daily. We get an email daily about, you know, XYZ, kind of what are we doing right? What do we need to do better? You know, how much PPE we have left, or kind of the changes to what PPE we should be wearing. So I think kind of the biggest challenge is, you know, adapting to all the new information that's coming in so quickly, and then being able to implement it into our practice without, you know, with, you know, trying to make things as smooth as possible, which, you know, sometimes can be a little complicated in an emergency department. But I think, you know, as we kind of get more comfortable with what's going on, I think it's definitely become less chaotic than it was initially kind of early in March. So,
yeah, that does seem to be one of the, you know, to me, one of the fascinating components of this is how things change so incredibly quickly. And, you know, just literally from day to day, as new information becomes available, as protocols improve, the lack of PPE or you know, equipment, the abundance in some places of equipment, the lack of ventilators in some space versus enough in other places, and it seems to be just sort of evolving almost as we speak. And I take calls from the media from time to time, and they're asking, well, are we going to play football, and when are we going to start? And it's kind of like, well, folks, that's 2 months away, and in this universe, that seems like three lifetimes away. So it's you know, things are just evolving so quickly.
Yeah, and I think it's difficult too, because obviously, you know, I'm, you know, a big sports fan and all that stuff, but then, you know, seeing the other side, seeing the sick patients, you know, we've had, you know, patients come in and, you know, respiratory distress, and they, you know, are, you know, they're facing, you know, the virus. And I don't think people, you know, it's hard to understand if you don't see both sides of it. So it's, you know, been really interesting to, you know, as scary as it is sometimes, it's really interesting to see kind of the process of all this, because, you know, I work with some of the doctors, you know, have done this for 20, 30 years, and they've never seen this. And so it's just, it's a very interesting time, obviously. And, you know, we're very fortunate in Columbus, like, that we haven't really had, we've always been preparing for what we call like the surge. You know, our volumes in the ED and in the hospital have been about, I think our president had just said, maybe down like to 40% of what they usually are. I usually work 10-hour shifts, but we've just had low volume. So I've been working 8-hour shifts instead of 10 hours. And, you know, we just don't have the same volume as we usually do. I could, you know, in 10 hours, I see like 16 to 20 patients usually, and I've been seeing some days less than 10. So, you know, I feel very, you know, lucky that, and, you know, I'm very thankful for everyone that's, you know, stayed home and listened to, you know, what our government has been saying. And, you know, we haven't got to the point where what I kind of feared was, you know, we had, you know, patients coming in every moment in respiratory distress, and we were, you know, overwhelmed. We haven't, you know, hit that point, which I'm very thankful for. So,
yeah, no, and the Ohio governor was one of the, I think, you know, early actors in all of this. And so hopefully that has been, you know, that's been helpful in that state. I think certainly, although she's taken a bit of a hit from some circles, I think Governor Whitmer, you know, stepping in early certainly has helped Michigan turn the corner. So that, you know, that early action hopefully has helped. Helen, let me ask you, you know, one of the things that you've heard me talk about in our various meetings with the athletic department is, you know, one of our key goals, one of the things that drives us, is to ensure student athlete success, not only on the field of play, but in the classroom and in their life's pursuit as well. And obviously talking with Abby, who's a person who was very gifted athletically, but has also made a great difference in Columbus, in her corner of the world. What are the things that, how do we work on that proactively from a head coach's perspective?
Well, it's funny. I think every time, you know, you have an opportunity like this to chat with one of your alums and former players who you now call a friend, you always have to reflect back on the recruiting process. And I still remember Abby's visit and her dad. I was driving one of the Sprinter vans and her dad's sitting in the front with me and we're just chatting about life and we're talking about their family dynamic and, you know, Abby being the oldest child and how for he, you know, he was a doctor and the life that he had and then her vision and really supportive home network that just wanted her to thrive. And I think that when I look at athletes, when we're recruiting them to campus, so much of it's got to do with the recruiting process, getting to know the families, getting to know who they are as a person, what makes them tick, how are they wired? Are they self-motivated? Do they need a little, you know, kick in the butt to get moving? How are they in the academic front? What do they like to do socially? I think all these things play a part on who and why you bring people to campus. And I think, you know, with Ab, she was a gifted athlete. She was, you know, great student. Never had to ask her to do anything twice. You know, she took responsibility to what she had to do to be a student athlete and to be the best. And Abby's probably one of the most driven individuals I've ever coached. You know, she's highly competitive. If it was a pickup game, I would probably want her on my team every single time. So I think that just kind of it drove Abby. And I think that when you know, as coaches were out recruiting, you're meeting these kids, you do reflect back on former athletes that you've had and you think, okay, they've got a little Abby Barker in them, or they've got a little Kristen Henn in them, or a little Molly Cassidy, or, you know, whoever it might be that's been a part of your program that had great success when they were here. Because I think you've got to find the right people that fit the program and also fit our department and our campus.
So Helen, we've spent some time talking about program history with Abby joining us today and her extraordinary career as a field hockey athlete. And yet hopefully we will have a field hockey season upon us fairly quickly in the fall. So what are you looking forward to most about the season? Are there particular matchups or games?
No, I think it's interesting because obviously, we had our schedule set and then we've had some games that have had to get kind of rearranged and moved around. And so there's some uncertainty for some of the games. But I think that, every year in the Big Ten, it's an absolute battle. And it really doesn't matter which Big Ten opponent. I mean, I think obviously every time you play Michigan's always a big game. But I think it's just the rivalry in the battle of Big Ten games, there's nothing else like it. Fortunately, our schedule was already pre-regional, so we don't have to worry too much about, you know, flights and long distance trips that we would be taking this fall, although there were some in the docket for the following year. But I think right now, so many of the girls, the players, even within the coaching community, there's so many questions and about what's going to happen and what's fall going to look like. And I think we're just all ready for something, some type of sense of normalcy to come back. So whether that's getting the girls back to campus and being able to have a conditioning session or even just to see each other in the flesh and be together as a team again, I think that's what everyone's really looking forward to the most. And then obviously from there we can build. I think the toughest part for spring when it ended was that we just lost a lot of weeks of development time. We'd had one day of competition. We missed our other four. So for the girls that either redshirted last fall or were kind of coming into their game, they just didn't really get a chance to play any competition. So I know everyone's eager to compete and get back out there. And then obviously integrating our new freshmen to the program and seeing where the girls, returning girls that had a great year last year, are going to keep improving.
Super. So I'll wrap this segment of our program up with a question both for Helen and for Abby. Both of you played collegiate field hockey, but if you weren't field hockey players, or maybe even if you are, what's your other favorite sport? Are there other sports you like to compete in?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I love competing in anything and everything. But if I had to play another collegiate sport, probably soccer would have been my choice. But I've definitely, after I played field hockey, I had a friend on the club ice hockey team that taught me how to play ice hockey. So I had a lot of fun playing that. And then I started playing like beach volleyball during PA school. So I picked that up and really liked that. So I will compete in anything and everything. So
I feel very similar to Abby. If it's got competition, whether it's playing euchre or playing any sport, I usually am the person that makes others mad because I'm too competitive. But I think, you know, growing up in Scotland, I grew up playing golf and hockey. Those were kind of like my two sports, and got to a point about age 14 when my dad said, right, pick one or the other because this isn't going to really work. And I picked hockey, even though he tells me to this day that I probably made the wrong decision because I made money playing golf. So I enjoy golf. I don't love it like I love hockey, but I think that would be my, you know, next favorite sport as such in college. But like Abby, I love ice hockey. My 9-year-old son plays, and we've built a rink in our yard in the winter. And I'm not very good at skating, that's my only issue, but I love the sport. I love how fast it is. I think the field hockey skill crosses over. So I think ice hockey could definitely be up there. I just have to learn how to skate.
I also picked up golf too, which I really enjoy, but it was funny, the first time I played, I started running to my ball, and whoever I was playing with was like, you know, you don't have to run in golf. And I was like, oh, this is nice. So
yeah, I'm a fairly competitive person, but I am a horrible athlete. And so one of the things I discovered early in my time as athletic director was, you know, I'd be hanging out with the coaches, and, you know, we played golf once, we played some tennis, and they all, oh gal, you know, I'm not really good at that. Well, let me tell you, if they're a Big Ten coach, I don't care what sport they're playing, they're a good athlete, and it translates. And I was on the opposite side of a tennis court from Helen last year, and just watching the balls blow by me, you know. So, thank you very much, both of you, for joining our show. We really, really appreciate it. And Abby, continued success. Wishing you all the best in Columbus. And hopefully we will, as time allows, see you back home in East Lansing. And we'll have a chance to watch some good field hockey. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.